This is Scotty Reed with a Black Talk Radio News report. Trump's immigration action in the Kingdom of Hawaii. As Trump's campaign promise to round up undocumented immigrants and deport them is being fulfilled as immigration officials seem to be ratcheting up enforcement and deportation actions, descendants of the occupied Kingdom of Hawaii are wondering how this activity may affect Hawaiians who are not legal citizens of the United States. Most people do not realize that Hawaii did not willingly become part of the United States, but its monarch was forced at gunpoint, along with the threat of mass murder, to cede control of the islands to the United States. To help explain this history and the immigration concerns, I am joined by Hawaiian freedom fighter and activist Kahala Leazuma Maui. Kahala says Hawaiians are not legal citizens of the United States because they cannot produce a legal treaty of annexation and under the Organic Act only made Hawaiian denizens. If he deports us, will he send us all back to Hawaii? Thank you for joining us on BTR News, Ms. Kahala Maui.
Thank you for having me.
Please explain to us further what you mean when you say Hawaiians are not legal citizens of the United States.
Well, when America first came to Hawaii, it was about the 1820s, and the missionaries came over here to help the heathens learn about their Christian God. Throughout time, I would say a few decades went by, and they kind of held a lot of political offices in our kingdom, to where they decided that because they could not own land and they could not make the same money that they could make in America, that they just wanted to take over. So that's what they did. Somewhere towards the late 1800s, they went ahead and at gunpoint, they held our king to write a new constitution. That's known as the Bayonet Constitution of 1887, where it pretty much gives them all rights over our people. And although our king and his cabinet, they fought against it, there wasn't much they could do to avoid bloodshed. Fast forward a few years, he died and his sister came in as queen. And what they did to her was they called the U.S. Navy and they made all kinds of lies and said that the American people were being victimized over here. And so they brought the U.S. Navy ship, at which point President Cleveland ordered someone by the name of James Blount to come over here and investigate what was going on. And James Blount, who worked under President Cleveland, found that what America was doing was committing an act of war, and these war crimes are continuing till this day here.
Ms. Maui, I understand that there is a movement in Hawaii to regain their sovereign nation status. What can you tell us about that?
Well, for all these years, because of the oppression, you could really say oppression, suppression, they cemented this. They cut off our culture, so we couldn't do hula, we couldn't speak in our own language, everyone was forced to speak English. Kind of, much the way they rid it the culture of the African Americans during the slavery period. We did have slavery here, but it wasn't necessarily against the Hawaiians, it was against all immigrants, specifically the dark-skinned ones. So moving from there, what we've been doing is all this time, our elders, they were preserving this information. And much like the Christian chants in the South when they were going through the Harriet Tubman and the abolitionist movement there, ours were in songs in Hawaiian. So when you listen to a Hawaiian song, you really have to listen for the double meaning. There's always a double meaning in it. That preserved our culture and our history for today when we start finding, and this is probably about the 70s, we started finding all the facts, and trying to spread the truth was really hard at that point because now our people are suffering Stockholm Syndrome and they're in denial, a lot of people. And so we have to continue to perpetuate the righteousness, the truthfulness of the situation. And then once we get it out there, we're tackling it from there. So, which brings me to 1993. President Bill Clinton wrote the Apology Bill, and that is U.S. Public Law 103-150, where he apologized and openly admitted to the wrong that the United States has done to our people. That right there is the basis for a lot of movements where we're doing everything we can, and they're taking even the land that we inherited from the kingdom. Individuals, they're taking the people off the land and putting corporate businesses there at a lease for $1 a year. And this is leaving our people homeless. So we're looking at that, and then we're finding that these issues are so much deeper than we even thought. So, which brings me to recently, we found maybe 1997-ish, a woman was doing a college project, and she went into the archives in Washington, D.C. at the White House, and she found the Kuei petition, which was where mostly Hawaiians, but there were Americans, there were white Americans, there were a lot of immigrants, the Chinese were very supportive, where we all signed against becoming a part of the United States, and they kind of just buried that under the White House and let that go for 100 years. During more research, we found this is the 55th U.S. congressional debate that happened in April of 1900, where in a conversation with three senators from three different states are having an argument, and in this argument, they're saying there's a class of citizens existing under the Republic of Hawaii who declined to take oath of allegiance to America. The question asked for that was, were they in consequence not citizens of the U.S.? And the answer was, they were in consequence not entitled to vote. Were they citizens of the Republic? They might be regarded as citizens of the Republic, but technically we weren't, because we fought tooth and nail all the way through until the last Aloha Aina, which is until the last Hawaiian who is freedom fighter who is out there ready to fight, that we will not be citizens. And so they're saying, they're exploring the options. Could we become citizens of the U.S.? And they're saying, no, not even by naturalization we couldn't become U.S. citizens because of the existing laws. So what they did was they just covered it up, and somewhere between 1900 and 1959, they just started giving us American IDs, even though they never cleared up the citizenship status. And that's where we are today.
I would now like to turn our attention to something else. You raised a question about, in our earlier communications, you mentioned that Hawaiians who get caught up in the United States and justice system become victims of human trafficking. For our audience, will you explain what you mean, especially since you just noted that about the ID situation? So if you have Hawaiians here in the mainland of USA Inc., as I call it, if they, you, what is it? I mean, you raised an interesting point. That's why I wanted to bring you on. So can you explain further what you mean as terms of Trump's current immigration enforcement actions?
Well, when someone violates the law here, we have like a county prison holding cell area, and our airport also has state, county, and federal prisons at the airports. And what they do is when somebody is sentenced, they send them to the airport prison, and from there they traffic them across the United States. So we're not able to visit our families if they're incarcerated for whatever reason, because they ship them to Arizona, they ship them to Oklahoma, and they ship them to these privatized prisons so that they can become a part of the private prison labor workforce, which I would know to be slavery.
It seems that modern slavery and human trafficking legalized by the U.S. Constitution's 13th Amendment is affecting Hawaiians in much the same way that other groups are saying that they are affected. Now we have word that Trump's Department of Injustice will increase its use of private prisons, which you just mentioned, whose stocks have been steadily rising. Is there a movement in Hawaii against what we call modern slavery and human trafficking? Is there a new abolitionist movement in the islands? And if not, what can we do to start one?
There's not much of a movement out here. There's a lot of people that are not aware of these rights. Most Hawaiians we're experts at knowing the Hawaiian law. But this American law, we don't see how it applies to us to begin with. We don't recognize their authority. So there's a lot of people that are stuck in that period of denial. And the few of us that are trying to get the word out, that's about all we have of the movement here. So I would really like to spread the abolitionist movement here and get that information out there. And we've been doing that through a few of our social media websites.
Well, Ms. Maui, thank you for speaking with BTR News. Do you have any final comments for us that you would like to convey?
That together, when all of us people of color come together and fight on the one unified front that we have, I'm almost sure that we're gonna meet victory.
Thank you again for your time.
Thank you, Scotty.